Welcome to Mox on the Mic, your exclusive look into all things Chattanooga athletics. Here's your host, Chris Goforth.
Welcome in to Mox on the Mic, the girls of spring ready to get back on the diamond. And we're going to be joined by the head softball coach of the Chattanooga Mox. Frank Reed is going to join us. We'll talk about his team. We'll talk about the freshmen that he's brought in, the players he's got coming back, including the Southern Conference's preseason player of the year in Emily Coltharp, and some big changes happening at Frost Stadium. We'll get into all of that with the head coach of the Mox and Frank Reed coming up in just a minute. Don't forget, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Mox on the Mic. Make sure you tell a friend about it as well. Make us your first listen when new episodes drop each and every Thursday. Now, here's our conversation with Chattanooga softball coach Frank Reed. Coach, it's always fun when we get close to the season and we get a chance to start. Let's talk a little bit about what you guys have coming back. You've got a pretty good nucleus that you're bringing back from last year, and I guess we got to start with Emily Coltharp, who is the preseason player of the year in the conference, who has kind of been she's been number one from day one for you, it seems like.
Yeah, she's the story in herself. You know, she was a walk-on kid that we didn't have a scholarship for at the beginning, and she came in. Obviously, the first year was on all freshman team, and then just, you know, exploded from there. It's been that kid that does everything that we ask her to do. A very good example for what we want to put out there on the field. And I was so proud of her. You know, she got this. I think she got this award last year. I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure she did. And of course, we talked about a little bit about it with her about, you know, it's sort of the jinx a little bit. You get that, and then now you've got to live up to the billing. And so, you know, she said, maybe just don't nominate me. I said, no, I'm nominating you. You just got to live up to the billing. So, yeah, we're excited about her and several of our other returning players.
Hey, you've got a pretty good nucleus coming back. Tell me a little bit about that group, and obviously we've talked about Coltharp, but tell me about the rest of that group and who has you excited.
Well, you know, I think we're going to return six, Katie Snell at short, Aislinn Sellers, you know, at first. And, you know, we played Kelly Phillips there at third. We're going to use her as a catcher some and sort of rotate a little bit around with our catchers. And we got Presley Williamson and Jace Purdy that are returning as catchers. What we really need to see, and then Addie Keelan out in the outfield. Addie's a story. You know, she hit the home run. It put us ahead in the eighth inning in the championship game. You know, Addie wasn't a starter last year. You know, she worked hard. Defensively, we never had a question about Addie. We just needed her to be an offensive threat. And so she's been able to do that. Hopefully she'll continue. Then Olivia Lapari, you know, she returns. You know, most of those kids I named, Olivia and Aislinn and Jace and Presley, are sophomores. What we really need for those guys to do to step up. Because we brought in eight freshmen, and you know, it seems like this year they've been maybe just a little slow getting, you know, where we think we need them to be. We're gonna need them to be there, but some of them can find some positions as they work into the season. We hope to be able to play a lot of people early and just to see where they're gonna fit in. You know, you don't want to. Risk winning, you know, and shuffling around a lineup around too much. But at the same token, you know, we want to get those kids in and see what they're able to do. You know, we're returning at the pitching spot, you know, Brooke Parrott, who made the first team along with Alyssa Levitas and Izzy Alley. Izzy's a, you know, a freshman sophomore this year, and we need her, you know, to really be big for us. And Alyssa's a junior. And so we need those kids to step up. And then we brought two new pitchers in, and Taylor Long and Beja Gould. And they've had really good fall. And so I think we may be a tad – I know we're going to be better on the mound. We just got to figure out how we're going to get back in with the power part. Some of our – most of the players that we brought in as freshmen are mostly – speed kids, and so we're a little one-sided with speed. I don't like that, so we're gonna have to figure out who in the sophomore class is going to step up and be our power.
What do you expect? I mean, I guess we can assume Brooke Parrott will be your your number one pitcher. What does it look like then behind Brook in terms of starters?
Well, we got Izzy. We just mentioned her, Izzy Alley. She did really well for us. She's a drop ball type pitcher, and Alyssa Levitas. Those are our returners. And so we added the two freshmen that I mentioned earlier, Taylor and Peja. And they've had good falls. So our pitching staff looks pretty good. I was talking with our pitching coach, Coach Tarango Camp now. She just got married. But about I feel comfortable that we don't have to – we've got a lot of combinations where, you know, we can help somebody if they're a certain style. We've got other style type pitchers that we can, you know, plug in. And I can see all of them being able to start. I'm trying to find that one – player pitcher wise that can be that closer for us. I like somebody that can come in strong in the fifth. We had a pitcher several years ago that come in. She wanted to be a starter, and Candace Irwin, she wanted to be a starter, but she figured out really quick that I didn't want her in that role. I wanted her in the off the bench role. And once she bought into that, when I handed Candace the ball in the fifth, and we were one run lead, I knew that we had that win. And I'm looking for that out of this pitching staff. We got a couple that probably could fit that bill. I'm just waiting to give them opportunities to show me which one wants to do it.
So you've talked about your pitching staff. You mentioned the fact that you feel like maybe you're a little heavy on the speed side, maybe not as much power offensively. What are your big question marks about this team?
I guess the offensive side, how that's going to work for us. It all depends on how we plug people into the outfield. And once we decide on that, I think we'll have a little bit better idea of how we want to rotate. You know, in our sport, you can't put somebody in the game and take them out. So, you know, they're done if they're coming off the bench. So, unlike a basketball where you can give them some minutes, take them out, put them back in. So we got to find out that combination of a kid that's going to be able to come off the bench and help us either defensively or offensively that we can maybe keep in the game. That's what Addie did for us last year. She was that late entry into the lineup from the defensive side. So when we did that, we needed her offense to step up, you know, and she was able to do that, you know, down toward the end. And of course, I like to talk about her home run she hit in the eighth. I'm still standing there in the third base box when she hits it over the scoreboard. And, you know, we knew Addie has that power. She hadn't typically been, you know, that go-to kid in the crunch, but, you know, that's obviously boosted her a lot. And, you know, we saw some of that consistency going into the regionals. So we're excited about her coming back and filling out the outfield spot. So there's still a lot of questions on offense. Our pitchers, I think, have come along really fine. You know, the fact that we're returning three, the two that we brought in, Paige and Taylor, both of them are a little bit different styles of pitchers, where Taylor's a little harder thrower, throws the up pitch, the rise ball. You know, Paige keeps it down a little bit more. She's got the curve and the changeup. You know, Taylor throws the changeup, but, you know, Taylor would be a great addition behind Brooke or behind an Izzy, you know, that type of setup. So, there again, just finding what works, and when we see it, we can just keep going to it, I think.
Am I correct here? This feels like maybe the smallest roster you've had in a while.
I think we're at 22, so it's not technically that small. We've had upwards of maybe 20. I don't think we've ever been over 25. Honestly, in today's world, just from the financial part of it, from scholarships, I'd like to get it back down closer to 20. 22 is would probably be our max moving forward. But, you know, we've got a great program. We've got a great school. Academically, we're just knocking it out of the park. And we've got a lot of people that want to come to our school and play softball. And we're turning away more and more and more. And I don't know if that has to do with the NIL and people trying to get the opportunity and maybe not getting the opportunity because of another player moves from an NIL to a certain school. So it's like a job, you know, when somebody When somebody moves in your, like even at UTC, somebody moves, somebody takes a position, and it opens up another position, and it opens up another position. So everybody just starts funneling into those spots. And so I think that's what's happened a little bit in recruiting. And you never know with the portal, what any young person might do. They may come and play and have a great season. UNC is a good example of that. UNCG had one of the top pitchers in our conference and did well. Took her out to I think it was Oregon. Oregon, I think, and they played in a tournament out there, and she held Oregon very close. I mean, just like neck and neck, and they needed the pitcher, and they reached out to UNCG's pitcher, and now she's pitching up there, so or over there, so that can happen, and I struggle a little bit with the loyalty thing. You want to bring your kids in, you want to be loyal to them, and you want to, try to do the things that you want to do to help them get through college, but at the same token, you want that in return. But in the world today, we've made it okay to be able to say, I'm a mock today. I'm just using this as an example. I'm a mock today and I'm somebody else tomorrow. You're seeing that a lot in the Power Five. Especially, you look at football, there's no so and so at quarterback that's been there 3 years and worked their way in the starting lineup. They're a transfer from Kansas, they're a transfer from Alabama, they're a transfer from here. So that's starting to filter down into our sport and other sports. And so that makes it very difficult for us to know how to recruit. And, I think that's a little bit of how we got into sort of, I don't know if you ever overload with speed, but that's how we got there.
You've got some transfers, but these are for the most part local kids who went off and wanted to come back home. You haven't been very active in the transfer portal and in going out and getting players to come here. You've chosen to continue to recruit the high school kids. Is that a fair assessment? Is that still where you feel the most comfortable?
Well, one of my favorite things says, you want me to be honest or lie to you? Honestly, we looked in the portal. We looked hard in the portal this year. There's some spots that we needed, and there's some couple of kids that we reached out to. One was sort of at the beginning, it didn't work. The second one we thought we were going to get, brought them in, and you bring them in and you take the visit and you do all the stuff and you encourage them. Now we look at it now, it's been a very important part of what we need because it was a power person, but chose not to come to UTC for what, not so much that, it was just what we were able to offer scholarship wise. And that's not to say that we wouldn't go to the portal. I don't want to tell you that we're never going to go there, but we like the young kids. We like the ones that will come in. We like the local kids as well. We obviously look here first and then. But we get a lot of interest from the West Coast and even broader range than that. We're getting more and more people coming to our camps, and that's where you're going to get recruited for the most part. You get to somebody's camp, you get a chance to see them, and you like them, they like you, and then you can, proceed from there.
Let's talk a little bit about this schedule. You guys open up with the Charleston Invitational on February the 10th. You've got the Chattanooga Challenge a week later here at home. Of course, the Frost Classic, always an outstanding event. A little bit about this schedule and some of the competition you're going to face.
Okay, we talked about going to Charleston. We opened up with JMU. They're a World Series team. And they're always pretty consistent on the field. So we're excited about getting to start open up with them. They're going to be just like us, trying to figure out what they're going to do out on the field. Hopefully Charleston's warm. Hopefully they're far enough south that we'll get some warm weather down there, get a chance to see. Then we come back home. We have our two tournaments, our Chattanooga Challenge and our Frost Classic. We can talk about it a little later, but we're not going to be able to play those games at Frost because of the construction that's going on there. So those will be played on what we call the quad. It's just right behind Frost Stadium. So those first two tournaments will be played there. Then we're on the road. I don't know how we got there. We didn't design it this way. We're on the road for like 5 weeks. And so when we come back home, I think April 5th is the day I think they're saying that all that she'll be back in place so we can play there. But we have an exciting schedule. You know, we're gonna try to make our trip down to Florida this year again. That's always been a really beneficial trip for us. It's a little lengthy. I think we're out on the road for 10 days, but the thing I like about it, it's right before conference tournament. We get a chance to get down in some warm weather and just sort of that really defines us as a team, I think, as we get ready for conference. And then we're able to bring them back and hopefully jump right into being very successful in a conference play. We're going to do it a little different. We're going to be in a tournament at Madeira Beach, and then we're going down the Florida Gulf Coast for a three-game series, coming back a day earlier so we can get them back, get their feet back under them, and be prepared for the conference schedule. So the schedule is exciting. We got, you know, it's what's really going to be nice is when we get into the new stadium. I'll tell you about that if that's going to be your next question. A little bit more how that's going to come about. But, you know, as I watched the team last year, and we were basically a 500 team throughout most of the season. We'd win and we'd have good feelings, and then we'd drop a game and, you know, just trying to find that camaraderie. One of the best things that we did last year was to take the team on the road. We took the, well, we went on the road to Western Carolina that last series. Keep in mind, I had done this before and it didn't work. So it's not some bright idea that I had. I tried it once before. We played a series at Western Carolina. We swept there, and the team just grew from that. You know, we were able not to come home. We took a day and just drove up, you know, took our time because you got to get right to the conference tournament and you got to go to Greensboro, where it was, and you got that practice day. So we were able to take that day and travel, and kids just sort of refresh and relax and have a nice dinner and get back out on the practice field, you know, the next day up there, and then start the tournament. And, you know, we didn't, you know, we picked up right where we left off at Western Carolina. We ended up getting them again. So this was our fourth time that we had to play them. So I was a little concerned about that. It's hard to beat somebody consistently over and over and over again. But we got that first win. That was probably our toughest. And then we had, I think we beat UNCG, and then we beat Samford, and then we were just waiting, you know, for UNCG to come back through. And of course, you know the story. We won that game, and our kids were so close. I remember the day that afternoon we came back on a Saturday afternoon after the tournament. Everybody was so pumped, and we were so close. I mean, you couldn't tear those kids apart. We got pulled in the parking lot. It was time to unload the bus, and they needed to go back to the dorms. And they just looked at each other. I said, it's, "Well, yeah, we got to separate. We got to go. We'll be back on Sunday for the show." And so, I loved seeing that camaraderie and how they came together. So the team that was, you know, just I wouldn't use the word struggle, but work to get to where they needed to be, because at the whole time during the season, they were definitely on board with each other. And so when we got to that last part, and they once they come together, I knew that they could be something, you know, to give somebody some trouble. And they did that. And you know, only went on and went on to the regionals, and I thought we played really, really well against Alabama, and had to get, you know, the win against Murray State, and then Alabama again. We played well with against them for both times, and I was proud of that team.
So, what are we going to see different at Frost Stadium when we roll in there on April the 5th?
Okay, I'm gonna put it to you this way. I'll start it off a little different. So if I were to blindfold you and put you in the car and drive you around, brought you in, opened, took the blindfold off at Frost, and I took it off and I'd say, "Where are you?" You probably wouldn't know where you were. That's how much we're going to be changing the place there. So if you can envision all new turf. When I say two new turf, it's all, everything's turf, infield, outfield. So that'll all be new. And you know how crisp and clean that looks in on a turf field. You know, you see it in football, you know, in other sports. But we'll have all that done. The walls will be no longer branded with a screen. They'll be padded walls. Be a little higher, I think, than what they were before. It's about 6.5, 7 feet. By the time we put them up on the little concrete berm that you have to attach the turf to. So all new turf. We're expanding the bullpens. The bullpens will go out. We've already done work on the cages, the hitting cages. The bullpens will go out. And so when you walk in, everything's going to look just different. And then to top it off, we have a big jumbotron. If you can visualize Frost scoreboard, The middle section will be all Jumbotron, where the scoreboard is now. And then the outer sections, you remember they had two little outer sections that had advertised, had names on it. Those are going to go away. They'll be two smaller jumbo, I guess you call them Jumbotrons or whatever. And they will be advertising. So, whoever wants to slap their advertising up there can be able to do that. So it's going to be a fantastic place. Frost is a great place to play. And anyway, this is a much needed makeover. And, I think a lot of people are going to enjoy coming, just for the fans' purpose. They can come in and, you come in on a dirt field and grass, if the crew has drugged the field, if it's windy, the dust gets on the seats, and so on and so forth. You have to wipe the seats off. If you've ever been to an all turf field, you don't have any of that. It's just crisp and clean. Everything cleans up. You don't have the dirt and the grassy stuff. So we're excited about how it's going to look. I think it's going to be a big win for us and Chattanooga.
Now, is this the first since Frost opened? Would this be the, and obviously, I mean, there's been maintenance done, but is this the first time that it has had this level of an overhaul since it opened?
I guess you could say that we've painted, or they've painted, the press box and all that kind of stuff has been painted and stuff over the years, and to keep maintenance there. We put a new outfield in, the grass outfield. We put a new outfield in maybe 3 years ago, to try to level up some stuff out there. And of course, they're constantly working on the infield and doing things and making it, the best it can be. Other than us putting branding up, we've changed out some branding over the years. We did the thing with the train out in the outfield on the building. It looked like a train. We did that, which, I thought it gave it a really neat look. This is the biggest thing that we've done, and a lot of things that we knew that we needed to do. Of course, a lot of this is in response to the fact that we're having our conference tournament. We're hosting there, and then the week after will be the NC2A, a Division II national championship. So they'll be there for this year, and they break a year, and I think they're trying to back. I'm not sure if they have the contract or not, for sure, but they're saying that they'll be back for the next maybe 3 years after that. And so it won't interfere with us, because that's always the week that you would go. If we win conference tournament, we would go to regionals. So that would never be a situation where we would have to be there and be put out or anything. So it can be a nice thing for Chattanooga and the softball community to get a chance to see us 1 week in a conference tournament, and then come back the next weekend or week, however long it is, and see the Division II national championship. You know how exciting the Division I national championship is in Oklahoma. Everybody tunes into that. It's a big TV thing. So, I can see Division II softball is really good. It's strong. A lot of those programs in Division II can play. At Division I, that's just what their ch school chooses to be in. So, yeah, it'd be a big get for the Chattanooga area in softball.
How involved were you in this process?
Getting the Division II here?
No, the renovations to Frost.
A lot, quite a bit. We were going to do a major overhaul, and there were some issues with the funding, with City, UTC, whatever venture here, and there was going to be some problems with funding. And so they cut it back to just a minimal, well, not say minimal, but some improvement, but not everything that everybody wanted. A little bit of turf, not a lot of turf, just on the sidelines and stuff. Hoping to get the scoreboard part, definitely getting the padded walls, definitely getting the bullpens redone, but the field itself wasn't going to happen. But after meeting with them, I was able to reach out to some people that I knew, with my AstroTurf contact, and I made friends with those people over the years. And then Thomas Crean, one of the people that helped me there with AstroTurf, his fan he married into that the family that owned it. Now it used to be privately owned. Now it's on the stock market, I think. But I reached back out to them, and Thomas, being a UTC guy, and told him what we needed to do. So we were able to get them to pretty much donate all the field for Frost. There's a re They're going to do something with the city, with doing some additional fields. So sort of an agreement that they would do frost, and then they would get other work that's going to be happening there at the other fields, which is much needed stuff too, because they're losing too many games and stuff to weather. So at the end, that's it's a great deal for all of us, and and AstroTurf for stepping them up and helping us out there that respect. But what we'll end up with, you'll have two fields, what they call the quad, two fields turfed up there, and one at Frost. And eventually they'll turf the other two fields at in the quad. Another was well, three more, one at the field at five by the zoo, and then the two there, the other two. So yeah, it's going to be a big get for them, because the number of tournaments that are hosted in there and everything, it's going to be. I mean, oh, and I forgot to mention the lights. Musco Lighting's come in and did all the new lighting. It's going to be latest, greatest. You're playing out there, it's like playing in the daytime, in the sun.
Wow.
So the Musco Lighting's got features where I think one of the features they're going to put on is our fight song. So as the fight song's being played, the lights can blink and do color and all this kind of stuff. Fight song's one of the things that I wanted. Outside of that, I didn't care what else they were able to do, but I wanted the fight. I'm a fight song guy because, I guess that's old school. I don't know. That's one of my, not really pet peeves, but one of the things I like to see us emphasize more with our, I think it just creates a bonding with the school. And you hear that fight song and you know what you're standing for. It just gets you up and ready to play. But so being an old fight song guy, I said, I want the fight song on there. We don't play it enough. Let's get it up there. So they're going to have that, and then we'll have other music that'll be programmed in. So it'll be pretty neat. We don't play a ton in the dark or need lights, but we may can reschedule some games in the future to be able to get some later afternoon games and play under the lights. So it'll be a great feature for everybody.
Coach, appreciate it as always. Excited to get this season started, and can't wait to see you guys. Can't wait to see you guys on that AstroTurf at Frost Stadium.
April 5th is the day that they're set. They said they hope to have it finished by that day, and or hope that's the schedule to have it finished. So basically what we're going to do, I've told the kids, we're going to go off for a few weeks, and we're going to come back home to a beautiful stadium, a beautiful place to play. And I think they're really excited. A little apprehensive, I guess, as anyone would be, but how does the turf play, and how does this happen, and how's that happen? But I've assured them that we work out on turf inside, and bounces are truer. The ball rolls a little faster off turf, especially on bunts. If you slide, you got to slide a little earlier because you're going to slide right by the bag because it's a little quicker. If you've ever watched anybody on turf and slide and they go right by the bag, zip, it's pretty quick. But it'll be clean. And plus, for our managers, we get to play at home, and we're wearing those white pants and we're sliding. You're not so concerned about trying to get the stain out of them. So everybody's going to benefit, I think.
Coach, appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you. You guys have a great day and a great weekend.
Always a good time to visit with Coach Reed, and appreciate him giving us some time. Super excited to see what Frost Stadium looks like with the turf and the new video board, the new outfield wall. It's going to be fantastic. Make sure that you make plans early April. Make your way over to Frost Stadium and see these changes. I think it's not only good for the Chattanooga softball program, but I think it's really good for the softball community in general in the Chattanooga area, an opportunity to host more events here. So I think that's a wonderful thing. So appreciate again Coach Reed giving us some time. Thanks to you guys for being here as well. Thanks to Tate Johnson, our producer, who puts all of this together and delivers it to your smartphone or your device each and every week. So until next time, have a great week and go Mocs!
Thanks for listening to Mocs on the Mic. Please remember to rate, subscribe, and review. And we'll see you again soon.